And now, unprecedented access to one of America's premier motorsports organizations. SiriusXM NASCAR Radio's Dialed In with Claire Bilain and Roush Fenway Racing invite you to come inside
Jack's Garage.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes look at Roush Fenway Racing.
Before the cars hit the track
and the crews hit the pit, everyone convenes in Jack's Garage. Here's Claire Bilain. Welcome to Jack's Garage.
Welcome to Jack's Garage, the inside look at Roush Fenway Racing. Steve Newmark, the president of Roush Fenway Racing. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., B13 at ISM. Ryan Newman, B12 at ISM. That damn pit road penalty. And let me bring on Steve Newmark. Steve, what's up? And as we look to this weekend, there are so many things I want to ask you about. Number one, though, and I've talked to your crew chiefs and whatnot about it, and I even talked to Ryan Newman about it when I was in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, but welcome to Dialed In. And is Newman making Ricky Stenhouse Jr. any more aggressive or any more not back down-ish? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, Claire, thank you very much for having me. We always
really
appreciate being able to come jump on your show and what you do with Jack's Garage. I know it's something that's really, really special to Jack. And even when he was going through his Hall of Fame weekend, it was something that he talked about as being kind of part of who we are. So thanks for having me on. And to get to your question about, you know, has Ryan made Ricky more aggressive? I actually don't think that's the case. I think that, you know, Ricky, that's always been Ricky's driving style. I think he's just gotten more comfortable with who he is and that, hey, this is the way that I drive. And, you know, you look at a lot of the great drivers in our history and they all have different styles, whether you're talking about Dale Sr., Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart. I mean, they all kind of get comfortable with how they drive. And what we've seen Ricky is, you know, he's dirt driver. That was his kind of background growing up, and, you know, slide jobs and side drafting and all that. And we've seen him do that. And, you know, I think that, you know, I love seeing him race like that. I think it's good for the fans. I think it's, you know, makes for exciting racing, and it's been something that he's shown particularly this year that he's successful at. He's been making the passes for seventh and sixth by doing that. Now, of course, you run the risk of, if you race people that way, that you got to expect that they may race you back. And I think that's fine. I think he understands that and, you know, understands that, you know, everybody's out there trying to get whatever ground they can get. And, so we've been really pleased with the way he's been driving. And I think that, he's pretty comfortable with it. Now, obviously Ryan has a reputation for that style driving, has for many years, as one of the hardest guys to pass. And, you know, we're pretty happy that he's brought that to us, but, you know, from the perspective of what Ryan has brought to the team, I think the one thing I would say about him, he's been a consummate professional. He you know, gives 100% to everything he does. He's involved, engaged with everything. And we've been just thrilled to have him come on board. And, you know, I love his kind of brutal honesty, and I think that's helped us continue to get better this year.
So in the meetings that we missed, that, you know, we're not in there for the debrief meetings, Newman is telling the truth. He's telling you the, you know, when he's breaking it down to make Roush Fenway better, well, Newman is always kind of honest that way. Is that something that you said he has lent, that he will tell you the truth and not hold back?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, Ryan is blunt, and he would tell you that. He is not going to, you know, try to save people's feelings or try to say what's politically correct. He's going to tell you what he thinks and his assessment of the car and how we're doing. But I think the thing that really earns the respect of everyone else is he's willing to point the finger at himself when it's his fault. I mean, he will step up and say, hey, you know, if you look at the speed we had in our car this past weekend, you know, when he was running top 10, he had a speeding penalty, and he is very quick to say, guys, that's my fault. I need to help get us back to where we should be. And so, you know, he's just been a phenomenal addition, and just kind of week in, week out. And obviously we're very early in that run, but I think we're pretty excited about where he and Ricky can take us. Cause those two, I think their driving styles are similar, and they also, I think, get along very well.
Yeah. So on the aggressiveness of Ricky, which you know, I've always said, and I know that you're in on all the big meetings with the team owners and the, you know, the Race Team Alliance and all of that, but talking about the sport in general, I've always said the young drivers coming up, are going to, we're going to see them frayed. We're going to see them come out of their, you know, right now they're all so nice. And but as they grow and as they think they deserve some of that, they're going to stand up for themselves, and we're going to see it, right? And in essence, we're kind of seeing that at Ricky. But how is Jack about that? Does he, is he okay with that stuff? He's like, yeah, go get you some of that.
I think Jack wants to see that. I think, you know, Jack has a very healthy respect for our competitors. And I mean, I listen to him talk with admiration about a lot of the other team owners and team drivers. But when we're on the track, you know, Ricky's obligation or Ryan's obligation or anyone who's driving for Roush is to do the best you can to get the best finish you can for your team, for your partners, for our sponsors. And so I think Jack really encourages that edge on the track. Now, I mean, he'll tell Ricky that, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, that if you're going to dish it out, you've got to be able to take it, and you've got to be prepared for that. And I think, you know, Ricky has shown a you know, personality that he's willing to accept that. So I love seeing him drive like that. And I think Jack encourages him. I mean, you know, we've even talked about many times that if it's the, you know, hopefully we're in a situation where the 17 and the six are, you know, racing for the win at the end, and it's no holds barred. You don't worry about your teammate. You go for the win. And in fact, you've seen that in our past when Carl and Ricky were in the Xfinity series going for the win in Iowa, and they wrecked each other crossing the finish line and, you know, finished 1-2, but we didn't have a car to go to victory lane. And I think Jack is comfortable if that's the scenario that we end up in.
And Steve, is the payback coming for Ricky, do you believe? Do you think it's coming?
I don't think there's payback, because, again, and maybe I'm biased, but when I watch how he's raced, I think he's just been hard-nosed, aggressive racer. I don't, you know, there hasn't been anything dirty. I don't think there's been anything that you would point a finger at and say, hey, that warrants, you know, somebody going and trying to give him payback. There's no blatant wrecking. I mean, in fact, there hasn't really been any wrecks in this situation. And I know that the Atlanta race got some, you know, publicity with him at the end of the race. And that was an interesting thing for me, because Ricky had qualified third. You know, he was top 10 car early on, running top five lap times. He got a green flag speeding penalty. It put him a lap down. And the way the Atlanta race went, even though he was in the lucky dog spot running those top five lap times for most of the rest of the race, he couldn't get his lap back. So with about 20 laps to go, listening to the radio, Brian Patty, his crew chief, says to Ricky, says, all right, we can't rely on a caution. It's time for you to go unlap yourself the old-fashioned way. And so you watched Ricky kind of pick off some of the drivers that were on the lead lap, and he had gotten up where he was behind Brad Keselowski. So he had one car left to pass to get back on the lead lap in a way that, you know, we generally don't see. So he was running for that. And I know, you know, there was some, you know, discussion about whether he should have, you know, gotten out of the way for Truex. And I think, you know, our view is that he was in there trying to go past Keselowski to get his lap back. And that's what his obligation is. And ultimately, when Truex got to him, you heard his spotter say, you know, kind of give him some space, which he did. But, you know, my view is I don't think Ricky's done anything that will warrant payback, but I do think that, you know, other drivers are on notice that this is how he's going to drive, and I think that, you know, we're pleased with that aggressiveness.
Yeah. What else are we looking at? You know, you're in on all the meetings, the 2021 introduction of the new Generation 7 Cup Series car. I'm hearing all kinds of things about that it may bring other manufacturers. You're in on the planning meetings. You know more than you can tell me. But what I'm wondering is, what do you see? Like, what, tease the fans a little bit about it. What do you know?
Well, I'm, you know, again, I've been fortunate to be in some of these meetings just through involvement in the team owner council and some of the other stuff. And I can just tell you that, I mean, I'm as excited about the direction that this sport's going as I've ever been. I think that, you know, you look at the leadership on the NASCAR side with Jim France and Steve Phelps and Steve O'Donnell, and you couple that with a lot of the collaboration among the teams and then the really heavy involvement of the manufacturers. And I think we've got some really cool stuff on the horizon. Now, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Gen 7 or next gen car. And I think Roger Penske put it best when he says, we need to step back. This is a Gen 7 platform. And this goes to the schedule that Steve Phelps has been talking about, you know, injecting some new tracks or some, you know, new cadence in how we go to some of these races. And I think this car is going to be just phenomenal when you get to 2021. And the three OEMs, Toyota, Chevy, and Ford, have been really instrumental in working with NASCAR and helping them kind of guide the development. And so, you know, you put all these pieces together, and I think that we're really headed for, you know, just more energy, more excitement. And that's on top of how we started this year. So I know we're talking a lot about you know, what we've got in the future. But when I step back and look at the new rules package, look at how the racing has been this year with closer racing, you've got more drivers in the mix. And, you know, obviously our TV ratings are up, and I think you can just feel the energy when you're at the track. And so it's, to me, it's just a lot of fun to go racing every week right now.
And when we look at the platform, I've heard all kinds of stuff. I heard that they could tighten up a West Coast swing and it wouldn't take 3 weeks to do it. Again, these are not decisions that have been finalized, but what is possible? Like, what is just being floated around and what really could happen? What's being floated and what could really happen? Could the schedule be tightened up? Are we talking more time off so people can have more time with their families? Or what are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that right now everything is on the table. I think that's pretty refreshing. You don't hear, well, that's not, you know, how we did it last year. That's not how we've done it in the past. They're really looking at everything. At the same time, you know, when you have somebody like Jim France, who has such a, you know, long history in the sport and understands it's important for our heritage, that he wants to make sure that we're true to that. But when you're talking to Phelps and the broadcasters and the tracks, I think they're looking at everything. And so, you know, would that be midweek races? Yes. Could it be double headers? Yes. Could you be, you know, rearranging how you're doing the schedule? I do think that, you know, a lot of the sentiment is to finish the season a little earlier. And, you know, again, we're preliminary at this point, and ultimately it'll be the broadcasters and the tracks and NASCAR that finalizes where we land on the schedule. But I think there, you know, you do see a lot of momentum towards finishing earlier. Now, that doesn't mean less races, because there's ways with off weekends and doubleheaders and midweek races that you can condense some of the stuff as you're talking about. But, you know, it's got to work for the fans. And that's really the litmus test when all these discussions is, will this schedule, will going, you know, doing a doubleheader here, we're going from this track to this track, be good for the fans? Will it energize the fan base? And so, and I think there's a lot of pretty interesting ways, particularly when you look at, you know, some of the tracks that we could potentially be going to.
Wow. I mean, and there are new tracks in new parts of the country and short tracks. And I mean, we could go on and on. Also, how about Roush Fenway? Like, you know, Ricky had a really good start to the season. I think that Newman will, once he kind of gets out, he's kind of been on a streak of some things happening. But are you making up ground? One thing I know for sure, you're an honest person. And I don't know how hard the ground is that you're making up or where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, we feel like this season has started off extremely well for us. I mean, we're sitting in 10th and 17th. That's by no means our goal. We want both cars to be in the playoffs at all times. And Newman's just a couple points out. But, you know, and I think you and I have talked before, last mm-hmm. year was a disappointment. And we didn't come close to meeting our expectations. We had come off a 2017 campaign with a playoff contender, a couple wins. And we didn't follow that up in the right way in 18. So we did some soul searching in the fall and made some strategic decisions about how many cars we were going to run and how we were going to do things and drivers. And we feel like a lot of those efforts have really paid off so far. And it's way too early to declare victory. But when we look at the speed in our cars, we had cars capable of winning in Daytona, and Stenhouse, you know, led a lot of laps. We go to Atlanta, qualify third and 13th, and both cars had a lot of speed in it. When you look at Vegas, Ricky was top 10 in all three qualifying sessions, top 10 in all three of the stages and in the practices. And that was one that the six was a little off, but then we go back last weekend and the six was really fast. And so, you know, for us, you know, I would love to say it's this one thing that we did differently, but that's in this racing world where it's so competitive and you have so many talented people at all these different teams, it's going to be, we call it stacking pennies. You have to look for improvements, small improvements in a lot of areas, and that generally shows up on the track. And so, I mean, it's a testament that we see, you know, we finish at Phoenix and our guys are ready to be up on the track 2 days later because they want to be out there racing again because they feel like our cars are capable of winning and we've got the drivers capable to do it.
Yeah. And one other thing before I let you go, I have had callers that have asked me, Well, you know, I explained at the beginning of the year why Roush Fenway did not continue the Xfinity program. And since then, I've had calls from people saying, don't they need it now? Wouldn't that help when they have Kyle Busch on the track? You know, getting all that information. When you have him doing that, Roush Fenway doesn't get that information, although those were Xfinity drivers. Are you still believing that that was the thing to do and that for now, at least, that's what you needed? Because people keep asking me, and I'd rather ask you.
Absolutely. I mean, it was an unbelievably painful decision. I think, you know, we're all aware of Jack's history in that series, lots of championships. He takes pride in, you know, mentoring and bringing up young drivers and crew chiefs and pit crew. And so that was something that was really part of our DNA. And I think, you know, it's something that we'll return to in the future. But we do believe it's been the right decision because we had gotten off track in our performance at Cup, which is ultimately, you know, why we're all in this sport, is to win championships and races at the Cup level. We felt like we needed to laser focus on those programs. And, you know, as far as looking at, you know, what are you missing because of Xfinity, the cars are different enough that I don't believe that we felt like we were getting data from an Xfinity race that translated into a Cup race. The bodies are different. There's just so much technical differences between them. And then when we look at our drivers, Ricky and Ryan are both experienced enough. They've run at all these tracks multiple times. And so at this point in time in our history, we didn't need that for that purpose. And so I think that series is a phenomenal series, and we've loved being in it, and it's been very good to us. But I don't think there's any question that we believe it's been the right decision for us so far.
And what about developing young talent? You will not have a problem with that, you know, getting out of it. And then eventually, I think maybe one day you'll get back in. But bringing on talent long term, you know, those things that take a while, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, it will be some startup pains when we get back in it. And maybe next year, maybe the year after. But from a driver perspective, we feel like we're in pretty good shape with both Ryan and Ricky for the foreseeable future. And then when you look at some of the other development, a lot of the big development is on pit crews. And even though, you know, we only have two Cup programs, we have multiple development pit crews that are pitting in the Truck Series. They pit in the Xfinity Series. You know, they pit another car in the Cup Series as well. And so we haven't gotten out of the development program by any stretch of the imagination. We're just doing it in a slightly different manner than we've done it in the past.
Very good. I appreciate you coming on tonight because now my questions have been answered on Jack's Garage, and I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are, and thanks for coming on. I know the fans appreciate it. And will I see you in California?
Unfortunately, I'm going to miss California.
This
will be a race that I'm playing. My son is a senior in high school, and his high school baseball team's playing in Florida, so I'm going to be going in opposite direction, but I will be watching as closely as I can, and then I will look forward to seeing you in lovely Martinsville.
And listen, you don't always fly. Do you ever fly commercial? Yes?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Okay. So my question for you leaving is this. My Clearby Lang test. 7:30, your flight out of Charlotte leaves. What time are you getting your alarm to go off, and what time do you leave for the airport? I got to know.
All right. So 7:30 a.m. flight. What time?
Yes.
But I'm going to give you the thing, and I drive my entire family nuts, is that I get to the airport extremely early. I hate having any stress that I worry about. There's going to be a long line. And so it is inevitable that I'm sitting there, and my kids are going, Dad, we could have slept for another hour. So I am probably leaving, and I'm not that far from the airport. I'm still leaving probably 5:45 from my house, and I may be 20 minutes from the airport. And so I spend a lot of time sitting there waiting for the flight and getting dirty looks from the rest of my family.
I commiserate with you, and you're a highly successful individual. So I'm resting my case on this point. Steve, thank you for coming on tonight. All right. Really appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, Claire. Have fun in California, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.